Mark chapter 14, if you want to find your place over there, Mark chapter number 14. And we'll read a few verses to get started tonight. This is a 75th lesson that we've been in the book of Mark. So we've been in it over a year now, and we're making our way down through these verses. We've started out chapter number 14 with a couple of, this will be the second sort of short passage we're going to look at, but we're only going to look at two verses tonight, verse number 10 and verse number 11 in Mark chapter number 14. I think it'd be a good time to take a little while and study about Judas Iscariot. And so that's what we're going to read about, and that would be the title to the lesson tonight. We're just going to look at Judas Iscariot. Mark chapter number 14, and we'll read verses 10 and 11. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And so we're just going to look at those two verses tonight. And it begins out with this man named Judas Iscariot. Now there are several people, and I didn't take time to count them all up or try to figure out, but there's a lot of men in the Bible named Judah. And there's even a tribe where it starts, one of the 12 tribes, Judah. And, of course, there'd be a lot of men named after Grandpa, just like there is today. So there's a lot of Judas in the Bible. Jude and Judas, that's sort of like Robert, Bob, and all the variations of a name like that. And so Rob, Robert, Bob, you know, you get all them. And my first name's Robert, so I can choose that name to point out, but you know, that's the way Judah is. When you read about Judah, when you read about Judas, and when you read about Jude in the Bible, it's all the same name. And so there's several men in the Bible named Judas, but there's only one Judas Iscariot. And the Bible is always very careful when it talks about Judas, when it's talking about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, we're going to read about tonight and study about him. The name Judah, it's really a good name. It means he shall be praised. It has to do with praise. And so Judah is a good name. There's nothing wrong with it. Iscariot, though the name there, if you study it out, it means something along the lines of he will be hired. And that goes right along with what happened with Judas Iscariot, that he was paid to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. He was hired out. And so we find Judas Iscariot here. Now, I got to thinking, and I went to bed last night thinking about Judas Iscariot in the Bible, and especially in the book of Mark. When I got up this morning and I had a little thought about this, I couldn't remember how many times or if he's mentioned really anywhere else in the book of Mark. But he is mentioned three times by name in the book of Mark. And so we're going to look at just those three times quickly tonight. The first time that he is mentioned is in chapter 3. And verse number 19, talking about the calling of the disciples, when Jesus called the disciples. And so here we find the first time that Judas is mentioned in the book of Mark. He's mentioned three times in the book of Mark. The first time, chapter 3, verse number 19, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. Now that's the first time in the book of Mark. The first time that Judas Iscariot is mentioned in the Bible, it is along the same lines. Matthew chapter 10 verse 4. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now the first mentioned principle in the Bible is when you find you go to the first time that something or someone is mentioned in the Bible, and you'll find that thought is carried throughout the Bible, or there's maybe a seed thought there. And it might be expounded upon. But it's interesting that the first time that Judas Iscariot is mentioned in the Bible, it's mentioned in connection with betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that may not mean much to us, but if your name was Jude or Judas, you'd probably appreciate that. You wouldn't want to get mixed up with that Judas Iscariot. And I noticed also today as I was studying over in John chapter number 14, and you don't have to turn over there, but verse number 22, it's talking about another Jude, and it says John chapter number 14, verse number 22, Judas saith unto him, and then there's a comment, it says, not Iscariot. And so the Bible is careful to protect the identity of the other men named Jude or Judas in the Bible. And so here it's talking about Jude. There were two disciples named Jude or Judas. And this is not Iscariot. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? The book of Jude was its same name, but it's a different person. And so the Bible, when the Bible talks about Judas Iscariot, it talks about, and the Bible does say a great deal of things about him. We'll see some of those tonight. But the first time is mentioned that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second time is here in our scripture tonight. Chapter 14 and verse number 10. Second time in the book of Mark. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. Now, the next time is in this same chapter. It's over in chapter 14 and verse number 43. And it is the result of what we read in verse 11. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And we find the betrayal over in chapter 14 and verse number 43. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, take him and lead him away safely. And so we find there the actual betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ by Judas. So three times he's mentioned in the book of Mark, and it's all negative. Or it has that negative note about him. This is the one that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't know if you notice this. There's also some positive things said about him in the Bible. So we're just going to notice and study tonight Judas Iscariot. And I'm going to point out five or six things just out of verses 10 and 11. Number one, and if you keep notes, you may want to write this down. Number one, he was a disciple. Judas Iscariot was a disciple. And that's what it is saying in verse 10 when it says, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. One of the 12 is a common phrase in the Bible that lets us know this is talking about one of the original 12 disciples. One of the disciples that followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Judas Iscariot, some things we could say about him. He was hand-picked by the Lord Jesus Christ, right along with the other disciples. He was counted as one of the 12. He was chosen from the very beginning by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's people out here, and we generally would refer to them as Calvinists. Calvinists believe that some are chosen for heaven, and some are chosen for hell. Some people are predestinated, meaning before that they were ever born, that they would either go to heaven or either go to hell. When you hear somebody talking about that, that is what Calvinism is. That's what Calvinism believes. Calvinism would teach and believe that you would have no choice in the matter whatsoever, that you're either predestined for one or the other. But I got to thinking about this, and I was thinking about Judas being chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ chose him. He chose him. But Judas never chose the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's something that I don't know if they deal with or think about. Now, it's the same for everybody. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is not willing that any should perish. And I believe I don't know if it's right to say harms, but I don't believe it's fair to the character of God to say that God willed or predestined or chose somebody beforehand. Yeah, they're just going to go to hell. That's what some doctrines teach. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's his will for all to repent, but not everybody does repent. God in his foreknowledge, yes, I believe God does know who is going to repent, who is not going to repent, who's going to be saved, who's not going to be saved. The Lord Jesus knew everything about Judas Iscariot and actually what he would do in the end, but Judas never chose the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people hear the gospel and never repent. They don't choose the Lord. Wonder what if we thought about it like that. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." The Bible teaches that Jesus died for all. That he tasted death for every man. He died for all, but not everybody is saved. You have to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's made the way. He wills, he desires. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But you and I must choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Both things are taught in the Bible. Yes, God knows. But you have to choose him. You and I are saved by grace through faith, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did upon the cross of Calvary. So Judas, although chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ as a disciple, was never saved. That's interesting. Judas was never saved. He never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter number 10. I'm going to try not to go all over the place tonight, but there's a lot of other places we could go to learn some things about Judas, but he was one of the disciples. And if he was one of the disciples, and he is mentioned along with the other disciples, there's some things that Judas was, it's interesting to me, there's some things that Judas was involved in, yet he was never saved. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1, the Bible says over there, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now, if he gave and it's mentioned here in verse number 1, the 12 disciples that power, that means that Judas, in his ministry of following the Lord Jesus Christ as a disciple, that means that there would have been times where Judas had the power to cast out unclean spirits. That Judas would come along somebody that was sick and was able to heal them. That's what the Bible says in verse number 1. "And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Judas was one of the disciples. If you look on down in verse number 7, the Lord Jesus still giving the charge to the disciples there, said in verse 7, said, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Judas was also numbered with the 12 there. Judas would have been a preacher. Judas was involved in the ministry of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means he cast out devils, healed the sick. He was a preacher. We'll see this a little bit later on. He was the first treasurer. He was the treasurer. The Bible says he had the bag. And he kept what was put therein. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He witnessed many of his miracles firsthand. He saw the love. He saw the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with the right people. He heard the right message. He did all the right things, but Judas died as a lost person. There's some lessons in this that we ought to take note of tonight. There's some lessons that we could learn that, yes, God has his men, but we need to be reminded tonight that Satan has his also. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, Paul said this, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed." Satan has some pretty slick salesmen out here. Just because somebody is a preacher or claims to be a preacher, that doesn't mean they're saved. Just because somebody has a successful looking ministry doesn't mean they're right with God. If you'd have seen the disciples and you'd have seen them casting out unclean spirits, if you'd have seen them preaching, if you'd have seen them following the Lord Jesus, wouldn't the world look at that and say, well, successful ministry, doing pretty good. But Judas, his heart never was right with the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has his men, but Satan has some too. No marvel if his ministers also be angels of light. Satan is not out here running around, horns, pitchfork, pointy tail. He wants to look clean, good. He wants to look not like a Bible denier. I mean, he's a deceiver. He's a copycat. And that's how he gets people lured in, and that's how he deceives people. There's another lesson in studying about Judas that we need to take into account, that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Boy, if Judas could be that close and be wrong, look at it like this. If the Lord Jesus Christ had 12 disciples and one of them was never saved, what do you think about churches? Think there could be people in churches that had made professions, that had been baptized, that has their name on the roll, that takes a part, and yet they've never been saved? Sure, that's common. It's very common. And as far as I know, it's always been that way, that there are people that have made professions, but later on they'll come along, they'll say, you know what, I never was saved, and I got saved. And you know what I say about that when that happens? I say, praise the Lord. If there's somebody that's lost, and they come to the realization later on, you know, I've just been a lost church member all this time, and I need to get saved, and they get saved, I say, amen, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's what I say about that. And I believe that's what the Lord would say about that as well. And so Judas was religious, but he was lost. We need to make sure we examine ourselves and make sure that we know that there's a difference between those two things, and make sure that we have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But first thing we learn about him in this passage of scripture is that he was a disciple, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. But second of all, I notice this, he was a defector. He was a defector. In verse number 10, the Bible says that he was one of the 12, went unto the chief priests. Now, the last time we read anything about the chief priests in this book of Mark that we're studying was back in chapter 14, verse number 1. Do you remember what the chief priests were trying to do? The Bible said in chapter 14, verse 1, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests, there they are, and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And that's who Judas went unto. He was a defector, which means that he went to the other side. Luke chapter 6 verse 16 is an interesting passage of scripture. And it talks about Judas over there, and it says this, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. That is the only time in the Bible that an individual is called a traitor. And it says about Judas Iscariot that he was the traitor. That's a title. And you know enough about English language tonight to know that if you call somebody a traitor, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. And the Bible puts a title on Judas that he was the traitor. The word traitor is only mentioned two times in the Bible. One time it calls Judas the traitor. He was the traitor. Not a traitor, but the traitor. And the other time is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4. Verse 1 is talking about this. Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be. And it goes on down this long list. It characterizes how people are going to be in the last days. And verse number 4 says traitors, heady, high minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But men in the last days will be traitors. Judas Iscariot was the traitor, and the last days will be characterized by traitors. A traitor is somebody that's a defector. They've went to the other side. They were on the right side, and they went to the side of the enemy. That's what Judas did. That's what a traitor does. And they have gone from the right side of being right to the other side of being wrong. That's what Judas did. That's what many people are doing today. They're defecting to the wrong side. I've heard people say things like, well, I used to be a Christian. I take issue with that. I don't think that's a true statement. I used to be a Christian and believe in God and all that stuff, but now I don't. Now, you never knew the Lord that I know. Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why would anybody defect to the other side? Why would anybody go to the other side? They just don't know the Lord. There's no such thing as I used to be a Christian. There is, I used to be lost, but now I'm found. But there's no such thing as I used to be lost and I was found and I defected and went back to the other side. There's just no such thing as that. And so, but Judas, he never was saved. The Bible never gives any inclination that he was saved. From the first mention of his name, he's a betrayer. He's the traitor. He's the one that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So Judas did. Many today are going that way, defecting, going to the other side. We could go on about that. But Judas, he was a defector. Number three, he was dishonest. The Bible said in verse number 10, not only he went unto the chief priest. Well, why did he do that? It said to betray him unto them. He was dishonest in his dealings with the Lord Jesus and the disciples. He went to betray him. To betray somebody is to surrender them. To yield them up, it's very close to the same what we was talking about being a traitor. Being a traitor means giving forward into another's hands, into the hands of an enemy. And so Judas, he did that, but he also betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He betrayed his trust. He betrayed his love. He betrayed the other disciples when he did that. If we call somebody a Benedict Arnold, that's an insult. Benedict Arnold, if you know anything about American history, you know, you may not know much about it, but his name is associated with betraying his country, with being a traitor. He was actually in the army of George Washington. He was a general. He was somebody that was a good soldier for a long time. He was wounded in action. He was promoted. As a general, as I said, he married, though, what they called it that day, a society girl. And he began to live very extravagantly. And he was reprimanded for that. And when he was reprimanded, you know, a war's going on, and there's soldiers out here, and they don't even have clothes to put on their back. Benedict Arnold, boy, he's living high on the hog. And somebody reprimanded him for that, and he got his feelings hurt. And when he got his feelings hurt, from that time forward, he began to correspond with the enemy, and for 16 months he corresponded and wrote letters, and he gave secrets over and things like that. And then of course he was found out. He's probably America's most famous traitor, betrayer. He defected to the other side, and he betrayed his country all the while he was on the payroll, and for what we would say the right side, not the wrong side. But that's dishonest. And that's what he did. And as we, if we would look out here in the world today and look around at Christianity at large, it would be fair to say that there are Christians who are being dishonest. There are Christians that are not being true to their Lord. And although they would stand and say, "The Lord has blessed me and blessed me," they really corresponding with the enemy all the time. There's a lot of that goes on. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were talking about, or maybe I was reading an article, I can't remember exactly where I read it, but they were talking about if persecution come to America, that it would probably be, it would be hard if it came to Christians, and it looks like it's heading in that direction. If you don't see it heading in that direction, you don't know what's going on in the news. I read in the newspaper today, they're talking about that bathroom thing. And I know you're tired of hearing about that. But that bathroom law is being associated with they were talking in the newspaper about that being a Christian, that just associated with Christians. Anybody that has any sense ought to be concerned about what they're talking about. But see, it's associated as being a Christian thing. And boy, Hollywood's down on it, and corporations is down on it, and business is down on it, and education is down on it, and all of those things. But if Christians were persecuted in America, it'd probably be a blessing in disguise, in that it would thin the ranks pretty quick. Because I believe there's a quite a few in our country that are on the bandwagon as long as they're fed well, look well. But if persecution come, I think they'd disappear pretty quick. A lot. Not all, but a lot. And so he was dishonest in what he was doing. He was not a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. First opportunity that comes along, he took it, and he goes out, and he defects, and he's dishonest, and he does it for what? For money, in verse number 11. We'll say number 4 tonight, that Judas, as we think about him, he was not only all of these things, but he was also a devil. Now, I'm not being mean in saying that. Verse 11 says, "And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money." He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for money. John chapter 6 verse 70 says, "Jesus answered them, 'Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?'" And so I'm not being mean or extra harsh when talking about Judas. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "One of you is a devil." John chapter number 17, the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the disciples and that he had kept them. He kept all of them except one, who was Judas. The Bible said, the son of perdition. Judas is a type of the devil, especially, or specifically, he's a type of the Antichrist. And so the Lord Jesus himself said that he was a devil. Mark chapter number 14, which we studied last week, verses 3 through 9. When Mary came to anoint the Lord Jesus, remember back in verse number 4 what the Bible said? "And there were some that had indignation within themselves, And I was preaching about that last week. What Mary did, her outward affection, her dedication, her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, it made some of them furious. Indignation, it made them angry at her. Indignation within themselves. And said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. They talked bad about her because of what she had done to express her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we read and study over in the book of John, what you find out over there is that the ringleader was Judas. Judas is the voice here in verse number 4. Why was this waste of the ointment made? Judas said that. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. It was Judas that said that. Judas made the opposition. Judas had indignation. Judas murmured against her. He murmured against somebody that the Lord Jesus said in verse number 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. The Lord Jesus didn't say it was a waste. He put it in his word. But Judas is here in the background and he's saying, what a waste. What a waste. John chapter 12, verse number 6, the Bible said, this he said, talking about Judas. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. That's why I said Judas was the first treasurer of the church. That's what it means when it says he had the bag. He was the treasurer for the disciples. He had the checkbook. And whenever they received anything, Judas was the one that kept up with it. But the Bible said he was a thief. He's a thief. He didn't care for the poor. He wanted that money so that he could put it to his own use, so that he could steal it. That's what he was going to do. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, money in and of itself is not evil. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you look out here in the world today, what will people do for money? We could maybe say it like this, what won't they do for money? People will do anything for money. They'll break up their families. They will steal. They will kill. They will, a big thing in the world still going on today is slavery. Slavery. Stealing people. People go missing all the time. Children, they're sold into slavery. They're sold into especially other countries and even right here in Oklahoma. People will do any ungodly thing under the sun. They'll destroy lives. They'll sell drugs. I mean, on and on and on we could go. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the root of all evil. I wish that you could function without money, but I just don't think it's possible. You got to have it, but it sure does cause a lot of problems, doesn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil. The Lord Jesus Christ, think about it. The Lord Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. That was the price of a common slave. Judas by no means even got rich off of it. It wasn't like in our day and time that he'd done something for $1 million. He'd done something that bad. Bought a little piece of land. Remember over in Acts when he went out and hung himself and he threw the money back at the chief priest's feet, and that what could they do with it? That's blood money. And they went out and bought that field. We'll not get all into that tonight, but it wasn't a lot. What he did for a pretty small amount. For 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. That people will betray the Lord Jesus Christ for a lot less than that. And more than that, they still betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to mention this again. There's this bathroom thing going on in our state right now. A lot of pressure is being put on the governor, the higher-ups. And it's not only going on in our state, it's going on in Georgia, it's going on in Mississippi, and there are some people that are trying to take a stand and do what is common sense right for everybody. But it remains to be seen what they'll do in the end. A lot of times these politicians, they'll put up a good fight to begin with, but there's a whole lot of money. I'll just say this, don't send them a donation check yet. Because a lot of people start out to do right until it begins to get them in the pocketbook, until the money thing is put out there, and when it becomes about money, you find a lot of people, they'll sell out. Read in the newspaper today that, what was it? PayPal was going to come here and build something, and they drew back, and the Hollywood industry is not going to make any fit. Well, I actually think that's a good thing. If we get less of Hollywood out of our state, we'd be better off. But that crowd, turning up the heat, we're not the NBA, the NFL. I think it's the NFL said to Georgia, you do that, we're not going to hold the Super Bowl. The NBA said, Charlotte, if you do that, we're not going to have the All-Star game in Charlotte next year. A lot of money. Boy, people, they'll sell out for money. Sad thing is, we probably all know tonight what will eventually happen. The devil's crowd will get what they scream and cry about. And God's people and people for just common sense, they'll be left out in the cold. Well, that's depressing, I know. But the Lord's coming soon. That's a blessing. But for money, what will people do for money? They'll do anything for money. Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a devil. Last of all, in verse number 11, number 5 tonight, what we'll see, he was a deviser. He was a deviser in verse number 11. The last sentence there says this about Judas. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now, here's what's so bad about Judas. He didn't just come right out. He didn't just say, fellas, I'm switching sides, I'm going to the other side. Judas devised, how can I do this and not look bad? How can I do this and the other disciples not really even know what I've done? And that's what he tried to do. And that's what maybe the other disciples, I don't know how long it was before they figured out, but they concocted. That's what a deviser is. A deviser is somebody who contrives or invents, plots, schemes to do something. Judas went to the high priest. How can I betray him? How can I let them know that this is the one they want to arrest? And a kiss in those days is a common greeting. And even in the Middle East today, they still greet one another that way. And so Judas and the high priest, they got together and they connived and they plotted and they said, here's what we'll do. We'll find him. We'll go out. And the one that I go up to and greet, that's the one. Judas didn't run up and say, that's him, that's him. He sought how he might conveniently do this, how he might save face, how he might not look like the big traitor that he was, but that's exactly what he was. He was a deviser. Judas was never all out for the Lord Jesus Christ, but Judas was always out for himself. Why'd you waste that ointment? I tell you, we could have sold that and we could have given that money to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And then when he found that he had an opportunity here to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went, it wasn't that he, I don't even think it wasn't that he didn't like the Lord Jesus, but here's an opportunity to get some money. Here's an opportunity to pad my pocket. Judas was never all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always out for Judas. And when Judas had opportunity to advance himself, that is what he did. And the scary thing about Judas, there's a lot of scary things about Judas, but I don't believe the other disciples ever even expected or suspected. Do you remember in the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed and they're having the Passover and then the Lord's Supper after that? But in Matthew 26 and verse 21, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, he said, "One of you shall betray me." And verse number 22, and they begin to look around and they said, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" All the disciples went around, "Lord, is it I?" Nobody sat there at the table and said, "I bet it's Judas. I wondered about him." They had heard him preach. He was involved. He was the treasurer. He was always there. And they all looked around and at the Lord and said, "Is it I? Is it me? Is it me?" He was a deviser that was out for himself. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I'd say he could preach just as good as the rest of them. No, see, nobody suspected that Judas would do what he did, but he did. There's only two people that knew what Judas was going to do, what Judas was capable of, what was really in Judas's heart, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked at Judas, and we'll see this later on, but he said, "What thou doest, do quickly." And Judas went out. The Lord Jesus knew what he was going to do, and I believe Judas knew. I believe Judas knew what was in his heart. A lot of times people come along, they say, "Well, I don't know if I'm saved or not." If you'll really look honestly, you'll find out pretty quick. I mean, if you really want to know. I believe Judas knew what he was. Judas already knew he was a thief. Evidently, according to the Bible, what was in his heart to sell the stuff was to steal it. It wasn't to sell it and give it to the poor. And so Judas knew. The Lord Jesus Christ knew, but none of the other disciples knew. And it's the same way in the church tonight, or it's the same way among us tonight. The only person that I know about is myself. And the only person that you really know about is yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ knows about all of us, who's his and who's not. But you know. And so the lesson is in this, when I study about Judas and when I think about, you know, how could he have done that? What do we learn from that? We should examine ourselves whether we're in the faith or not, and we should take a good, hard, honest look at our own hearts tonight and ask ourselves the question, am I a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, or am I a false disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? If Jesus had 12 and one of them wasn't, then I would say most churches have lost people in. I would say it wouldn't be a stretch that all churches, I'm talking about good churches that preach the gospel, they've all got lost people. They may not have lost people in every service, but they've got lost people that comes that would say, "Yeah, I'm saved." Unless you had a church with just one or two people, you know. But I found that all through my years. There's lost people in church. It's a good place to get saved. It's a good place to hear the gospel. It's a good place to examine our hearts and ask ourselves, am I saved or am I just religious? If I died, what would happen to me? Would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? Do I really know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, or do I just know about Him? There's a difference. Judas knew all about Him. He probably knew the same as the rest of them did, but he didn't know Him in his heart. And so Judas, there's some lessons, and it ought to point us to our heart. It ought to point us to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, next week, we'll get into verse number 12. They get ready to take the Passover, and we'll say some more things about that, but we're still in one day here. This is going along. These last days are going along pretty slow, where before it was going along pretty fast. So the message, the closing point would be that we'd examine ourselves, that we'd not be like Judas, but we'd be like the others. All right, I appreciate